Okay.
Record that?
Yeah. Yeah, it's an iPhone. I want to just review the purpose that I have for this meeting. I have a commission of the New York Times book, New York Times Magazine, to do an article on the Olmert offer and the logic of it and the gaps that remain. The occasion for this is that I've known Ehud a long time. I've talked to Mustafa about it, and he gave me a kind of exclusive reading of his new memoir, which is coming out very soon.
I think
he's about to get out.
He published something.
He had an interview in the Australian. That's right. He had an interview in the Australian journal.
But not the memoir.
But there has never been a very carefully stipulated description of what he says that he offered you. So I sat with him for 2 hours this morning, and he went through the entire offer as he saw it, and he described your reactions, I must say, very conservatively. He knew I was going to be speaking with you, and he didn't want to in any way prejudge what you would be saying or the reactions you had to the specific points. He did say that, he's very clear about this and wants me to make that a part of the story, that as far as he's concerned, he never got a no from you.
It's important.
That he never, he's not, in other words, he's not entering into this conversation the way Barack, you know, spoke about Camp David. He doesn't want to create tensions about this, and in fact, as far as he's concerned, the story I'm writing, and this is what I told him, the story I'm writing is not about who said what and who's to blame and who's at fault, nothing like that. What I'm really hoping to do is to stipulate the logic of each side and show the gaps between.
Yeah.
What things are either already agreed or close enough to being agreed that you can easily see that with a little more understanding, a little more talk, you could get somewhere? And what things remain as the kind of gaps that an American initiative of some kind, an American president, would be required to intervene and create some kind of...
To bridge the gap.
I mean, that's really, because if I have a hope for this piece, and I don't think it's an unrealistic hope, it will be newsworthy enough if the gaps are stipulated and people see, I'm not prejudging it, but people see that the gaps are really not that big, that it would create an opportunity, an environment for the American administration to feel that they have the public understanding to make some kind of move. I know that, and Ehud told me this, that the American administration has the entire description of your conversations, that Condoleezza Rice prepared a memo for Obama when Obama came in. So it's not like they don't know what this...
They know everything.
They know everything.
They know everything.
But I think the question is...
They told us they passed about 11 pages about our talks with the Israelis to the new administration.
Thank you so much.
President Obama and Secretary Clinton.
I know they know. The point is that they don't have an American public that knows. And because the American public doesn't know, it's easier, and I must say this, I'll say this, it's easier for the Netanyahu government to create distractions and make it all seem like the problem is the process of talking and not deal with the actual issues themselves, because the public is unable to judge what the logic of the situation is. So this is what I'm hoping for our piece, that I can go through what Ehud told me are the various points, get your reaction, and then come back to Mohammed or come back later and get whatever clarifications we might require, so that the piece will actually show what things are left, what relatively small things are left to be negotiated. That's my hope. So that's where I am. I'm happy for you to say anything you'd like in a preliminary way.
What I want to say that we spent, after Annapolis, about 8 months negotiating with each other. It was every week, sometimes every another week, but we didn't waste any minute in these eight months. In the beginning, it was exploring only. Exploring of the position. Each side position. But after 3 or 4 months, the American came with their own position towards the territories, the borders. I don't remember the date, but I can ask Saeb. Saeb will be with us now, and he can give you the dates when Condoleezza Rice came and met with both the Palestinians and the Israelis. It was at that time Tzibi Livni and Saeb Erekat. And she told them the following. You are asking me about our view towards the
great.
The territories or the occupied territories. And now I will tell you exactly our attitude. We mean by the occupied territories, first, Gaza Strip, second, West Bank. West Bank included by East Jerusalem, Dead Sea, Jordan Valley, and the no man's land. Is it clear to you, both sides? We said yes. The day after, she came to me to reiterate the same position to me. Now, Saeb can tell us about the dates when she told you.
The meeting in Washington, State Department, was with me, myself. I think it was 30th of July, 2008. The lunch in Ramallah with the president was 16th of August.
Okay.
So 2 weeks after, 2008.
The day after, I met with Prime Minister Olmert, and we started talking about 67 borders and swaps. During that period, we were concentrating on two issues. With another issues, of course, but two issues. The maps and the swaps. We offered them, we, the Palestinians, the swap will be 1.9, equal in size and value. At that time, and now we believe that 1.9, it is enough. Why? Because the built-up area of the all settlements was 1.1. So when I offer them 1.9, it is more than enough. He returned back to me after 2 weeks, said that, okay, I offer you 7.5 to be equal, also to be equal in size and value. Okay. Of course, I didn't accept, and he didn't accept. But we continued talking. I gave him twice maps. I gave it to him. I handed it to him. He showed me twice maps. I didn't take it. He didn't give it to me. He said, okay, you see the map? It's okay? Okay. He put it in his pocket. Then, after that, he returned with another offer, 6.5. About the details, if we want to talk about the details, it's including the safe passage and some other areas. But the maps he showed me, there was some sort of reciprocity. And he will take 6.5, he will give me 6.5. But I told him at that time, why you are in need for all this land? If you want it for any purposes, 1.9, it is enough. So this one of the issues. The second issue.
Wait, just a moment. Before we go on to the second issue, is this the map that you originally gave?
Yes.
I got it from the Rice, from the Baker Institute report that Samih Al-Abed.
Samih Al-Abed.
Yeah.
I would say,
to be fair,
nearly close.
Okay.
Not 100%.
I'll tell you why, because the Times is going to want to publish
maps. It doesn't matter the maps, because we tried to give them maps in order...
Close enough.
In order to meet their concerns, but not to affect the Palestinian independent state, continuous and beside that the water sources and the people, because we don't want any Palestinian to be annexed to the Israelis. This is about the security, about the borders, about security. There was one of the generals, the American generals in Palestine, who has been designated by the State Department, Jim Jones. We have another generals. They have some other jobs. But this man was designated for the security in the day after. Security in the day after, because it is very important to us. And it is one of the core issues. We suggested that in the day after, and between brackets, after the declaration of independence, there will be incremental withdrawal. Doesn't matter. But after that incremental withdrawal, there will be third party. Now, I discussed for one or two or three meetings with Olmert, what kind of third party? He asked me whether I will offer, I will talk about, for instance, Indonesian people or Malaysian or Turkish. I said, no, I don't want this. Third party should be either NATO or UNIFIL, or some kind of third party in Sinai or in Golan Heights. It doesn't matter. You can choose. I'm talking to Olmert. You can choose. He said, okay, I think UNIFIL are doing a very good job. Okay. We can ask for it. After that, he said, NATO may be better, but I doubt whether the Americans will accept or not. I told him, okay, leave it to me, and I will talk to President Bush about this issue. I went to Washington, I talked to President Bush, And he put one condition, which is a good condition, to be led by the Americans. Okay. Okay. We don't have any... So, General Jones completed his mission, went to Jordan, because it affects, you know, the third party will affect Jordan and Egypt. He went to Jordan. The Jordanians had two conditions. The first, that no third party will be located in Jordanian land. And no Jordanian forces will be located in Palestinian land. Okay? Accepted? The same, the Egyptians put these conditions, and after that he came to me. This is the file, third party, after the incremental withdrawal, 2 years, 3 years, doesn't matter for us, because we want the symbol of Sinai, if you remember Sinai, three years, it doesn't matter. And he took the file and went to, it was closed. This file was closed. We cannot...
By file is closed, you mean it was agreed?
Agreed.
Yeah.
It's agreed, yes. By the Americans, because President Bush said yes, but to be led by the Americans, okay. The Jordanians said yes, we don't want anything here or there. The Egyptians... Mr. Olmert and myself. So, this is the file.
The Americans use a technicality, saying no agreement, meaning not, they did not sign it, which is true.
Pardon?
The Americans use a technicality now. Mm. They tell us no agreement, meaning that wasn't signed.
We do not claim...
Well, nothing really was signed.
Okay. We do not claim that it is an agreement.
Yeah.
But the file is finalized.
That's the correct language.
Right.
It is finalized. And we know the principle that since Oslo maybe, we put it to us and to the Israelis that nothing agreed until everything is agreed. Okay. But this file is finalized.
Did this file also include airspace?
No, we didn't talk about airspace because these are details. We will discuss it later. But in principle, the Americans or the NATO will take care of the security in our territories. They will be located in our territories, not in the Israeli territory. And they will take care of defending the Israelis and defending the Palestinians. Not exactly defending, but at least to rehabilitate the Palestinian forces or apparatuses.
Yes.
Okay. But we said that if they want what they call it early warning bases, it will be Americans. It will be Americans.
Not exactly Americans.
NATO. NATO.
Or third party.
Whatever. Oh, the third party. Let us put it. The third party will be in these three locations. Early warning bases. Okay?
I don't want to interrupt your flow, but I since we're talking about the security piece of this, Olmert was very clear with me this morning that he stipulated two principles that would go along with NATO forces on the line.
Mm.
One would be that Israel would have flyover rights over Palestine. He said that that's partly because you actually can't. It's too narrow so on. So that he stipulated that would be one issue.
The second.
Yeah, but he was told in this from the president.
Yes.
That if you want to put an AWACS in Palestine state, let the pilot be American or British or French. No, not Israelis.
All right. I mean, this is a detail. The only question is, does is it fine, but as far as you're concerned?
Flyover, you're talking about commercial flights?
Commercial flights
no,
and...
No,
commercial flights and...
Commercial flights, okay, but he's not talking about commercial flights.
No. Well, you see, Ramat David Air Base, for example.
Believe me, we didn't touch this point. But it is not an issue.
It's not an issue.
It is not an issue. Yani, if he raised it at that time, we will find answers for this.
Okay. He also
and
said
for some other issues like the...
Spectrum. That's the other issue.
We will find, but we didn't discuss it. Yani, it is not a big issue for us.
You don't consider it a big... Well, it's a big issue for what?
No, it's a big issue for us too. But I think, I mean, there are international standards about allocating spectrum among countries.
Okay.
If we accept the principle that we will be an independent state, it goes with it that we'll have certain spectrum allocation.
Mm. Okay. So this is concerning the security.
Okay.
About Jerusalem.
He said that he would want it a principle of the agreement that Israel's army should continue to have
flying early warning.
Also on spectrum.
The second point was spectrum.
Okay. Because Israel has spectrum needs that are also military, that would obviously be taken. So I pushed him on that, and I talked to him about Watani, and I talked to him about, you know, the deals that were reneged on.
Yes.
And he said, no, that would not be a problem. In other words, it's not the civil needs.
There's the Chicago Convention. It's airspace, electromagnetic, and we are with the Montevideo Convention, with the Chicago Convention, with the Hague Convention. It's just we are going to be a respected country with respect to every international conviction. What's given to us, we will take. What's our obligations, we will get.
Well, all he's saying is that since the Israeli army will have military needs that the Palestinian army will not, that
no, we don't have Palestinian army. We agreed from the very beginning that we want strong police force. Strong police force. I reiterated many, many times, even to President Obama. When they were talking about demilitarized state, I said, we want, according to Oslo, we want strong police force. And you, the Americans, can define what does it mean. So, in other words, yani, we don't want air forces and tanks and rockets and
Mr. President, you're going to have in 2 minutes an interview in Al Jazeera for half an hour.
You can take it. You can see it.
Can we interrupt the meeting for 30 minutes?
No.
No?
You can. We will continue because we have another meeting.
Can record it.
If you want to go there. Yeah. But if we need you, we'll come back.
Please.
Okay, it's now. It's starting now. So this is about borders and about security.
Jerusalem.
I will continue. I will continue about territories.
Okay.
By the end of Bush term, on the 20th of December, I paid a visit to Washington. Right. At that time, he asked me, do you mind if I call one from your side and one from the Israeli side to bridge the gap of the territories? Because the territories, the only point which we left is the swaps. 6.5, 1.9. I said, no, I don't have any objection. Kunderi Sarais suggested that we will come to Washington on the 2nd or the 3rd of January. Okay? I said, yes, why not? And we are ready to come. And with your help, we can bridge the gap. Because if we come to an agreement on the territories, we solve many problems in our way. Water, borders, even Jerusalem. Okay. On the 25th or 27th of December, the Israelis started attack
Gaza.
Saad Arikat asked me, can we continue to go to Washington? I said, why not? Yes, we can go. In spite of the attack, we can go. Because it is a good opportunity now to seize it. He said this. He made telephone call to Shalom Turjuman,
yes,
secretary of Mr. Olmert, three or four times. We have a meeting in Washington. When you are going there, the answer was, there is a raid against Gaza. We cannot go. We cannot go.
Israelis.
And we missed this opportunity. It is very, very important and very crucial. This appointment, if we fulfill it, I believe that we can fill this gap or bridge this gap, and it will be, it will open, pave the way for the other issues concerning Jerusalem.
Right, let me just say something about that. When I'm writing this, Eyal told me this story this morning, that Turjuman didn't, that Arikat was willing to go, Saad was willing to go, and Turjuman, they said, no, we're in the middle of this raid.
No.
When he said that to me, and he said,
that's okay, go ahead.
And he said that you were willing to go, I thought to myself, and I will say so in this article, that it's obviously much more it would have been much harder for you to go than for him.
No, not me. Yes, it is harder for me to go.
That's
but
right.
In spite of that, I decided to go.
Right.
I mean, sending Saad, not him, sure.
No, I understand. But
it was very hard for us.
It's much harder for the Palestinian side to show up at that moment.
Exactly. It was harder for us.
And I could not understand why Turjuman, why Ehud, particularly since he knew he was
He can tell you about it.
What did he tell you about that?
He said that, I pressed him on it, and he said, well, look, we were at war, and...
And we are under war.
I can only press him so much on this, but I think any reasonable person, when they read the account of this, will say, not only should Turjuman have showed up, but it would have been much more understandable if Arikat did not show up.
But from our side, first of all, we promised President Bush to come. The second, we believe that there will be fruits from this meeting, whether there is an attack on Gaza or not. We know how much it's harmful to us, but in spite of that, we said, let us go. Let us seize this opportunity. Okay?
Jerusalem.
About Jerusalem, we didn't touch it intensively. But he said to me, Jerusalem is yours. But the Arab quarters or the Arab neighborhood is yours, and the Jewish neighbor is ours. And after that, we will talk about the details. He focused on the Holy Basin. The Holy Basin. The Holy Basin is one of the issues. One of the issues. And he said at that time, and I didn't disagree with him, that this Holy Basin will be controlled by five or six countries, like Vatican, like America, Israel, Palestine, Saudi Arabia, and Jordan and Egypt. Okay, let us discuss it later. The Holy Basin. I suggested to him, that East Jerusalem, as he described the Arab neighborhood, will be a municipality, Arab municipality. And West Jerusalem will be Israeli municipality. We are not going to redivide the whole city. It will be open for the people, all religions. And there will be a body over these two municipalities to make the coordination between two sides. This is my suggestion. I think he put it in his mind, but we didn't elaborate. Okay? Refugees.
Now, can we stay on Jerusalem?
Yes, you can ask any question because we don't want to pass from point to another.
Right.
Without the clarification.
This issue of the Holy Basin, first of all, as a definition, is itself not entirely clear.
Yes.
Because there's the Old City, there's the Mount of Olives, and there's the Silwan area.
Yes, we didn't define the Holy Basin. And this was one of the problems. Because there was big differences between our concept concerning this Holy Basin and their concept. We believe that it is only the...
Inside the wall.
They believe that it is more and more and more. But we didn't touch it. But there was big difference between us and them concerning this, what we call it, Holy Basin.
So I have, in a way, two questions about this.
Yeah.
One is, did you reject the idea of an international committee?
No. I didn't reject it. I told him at that time, it's okay, but first of all, I want to define what we mean, both sides, by the Holy Basin. Mm. If you talk about maybe all East Jerusalem, I would reject it. But if you talk about the places inside the wall, it will be something else. We didn't come to any understanding about it.
The question, of course, is would this be a problematic issue or not?
If you
were to get into more discussion, in other words, if the Holy Basin, as Ehud understands it, is the Old City, Mount of Olives, which is contiguous to the Old City, and what he calls the City of David.
Yeah.
In that, when I look at that situation, the only thing I think is really contentious is Silwan, is the City of David.
City of David and the other...
Jabal al-Zaytun, Jabal al-Tur.
Huh?
Jabal al-Tur,
Jabal al-Tur, yeah.
Olive of Mountain.
But by the way, we didn't go into details. We didn't discuss.
But he's telling you what Olmert definition Olmert, of
I know.
Holy Basin.
For that, we didn't touch it because he has his definition and I have my definition.
Okay, so let me put it this way. If you were to take Silwan out of the definition of the Holy Basin, but leave the Old City plus the Mount of Olives and the churches that go up to the Mount of Olives, if you were to define the Holy Basin in that way, would international custodianship be acceptable to you?
Believe me, I cannot answer. Why? Because I want to see on the map what do they mean by this definition.
Yeah.
For that, I said I will not touch it. In principle, the custodianship of the international party, okay, but the definition is not agreed by us. Because I am now describing what happened between us. What happened during these 8 months between me and him?
Right. Okay. What I'm taking from this is that if the Holy Basin could be restricted to the Old City,
yeah,
that you, in principle, find it, you find the words for it, a creative idea, an acceptable idea, an idea worth pursuing. I don't know, because
at that time we would discuss any creative idea, but in principle, I accept. In principle,
okay.
But the definition of the
بس هو عطاها توصف
المدينة القديمة
المدينة القديمة
لا
الحرب توصفها ان موقفك ان موافق من حد مبدأ
we didn't discuss now we are not negotiating
no but you see what's interesting what's the point of this article if the article comes out and I think this will be sort of what the article will come out on this issue that if the thing holding up a peace settlement is the goddamn city of David
Which is populated by Palestinians.
Which is populated by Palestinians, and where there's no archaeological evidence whatsoever.
So he wants to make it look ridiculous.
I want to make it look ridiculous.
It could be under the Palestinian sovereignty.
Yeah. So if the problem is that little piece of Silwan,
for that,
then I cannot, you know, any American with his right mind.
When you say that the Palestinians accepted the custodianship. The international custodianship on the holy basin, without defining holy basin, I think it's okay because we couldn't continue. We didn't have the time, because believe me, after 6 months he was indicted.
I know.
And from that time he was shaky.
I know.
And I don't want to say it. Many of the Israelis used to say, okay, what are you doing with this man? He is leaving. I said, no. As he is in his office, I said that many times, I will talk to him.
Yeah.
Until he leaves the office, at that time, something new will happen.
But you know, it's important to have talked to him and to get this far, irrespective of whether or not he's prime minister.
I'm telling you what happened between us.
I understand.
I cannot say that if he said so, I will said so, because this is exactly what happened between us. Borders, security, Jerusalem, refugees, and water. Now I will talk about refugees. I started with this argument.
Actually, one more. I'm sorry. Before you get to refugees, one more issue on Jerusalem. I've talked to a number of people in Ramallah, including Khalid Shikaki, who is very encouraging of this whole process and so on. And his view is that it would be very difficult for you to in any way give up Palestinian sovereignty over Haram al-Sharif. That the issue of sovereignty shows in his polling to be an issue that goes from 10 to 15% swing. Now, I'm not saying that you can't have what you call constructive ambiguity around these things. The Waqf could continue to have
very clear idea.
Huh?
Very clear, not ambiguity.
No, the Waqf continues to have control over the haram. But the question of if you have international custodianship, then the question of sovereignty, so Khalil thinks, would require an Arab League mandate of some kind or
Islamic conference
or something along these lines.
Yeah.
Is that your view?
No, I cannot tell you.
Okay.
Now we are describing what happened at that time. Mm-hmm. If we will go through the negotiations, I don't know what will happen through the negotiations.
Yeah.
Because in the beginning, before we started, we didn't have all these, let me call it creative ideas about the third party, about the swap, about, because what we were asking for, 67 borders, full stop. But after that, when we received some ideas from the Americans and told us there will be swap here, and we said, okay. So I don't know what will happen during our talks in the future or in the past. Mm-hmm. about the aspects, the all aspects of the negotiations.
But the bottom line for me coming out of this is what I'm going to write is that you, in principle, it's not like you accept it, but you don't reject the idea of international custodianship over the old city if the old city
not
is older.
We will call it Holy Basin.
The Holy Basin.
The Holy Basin.
As you agree on it.
I said, okay, we can find a solution, international custodianship for this, but without any details. Because maybe the details will spoil everything.
Right.
But at least this exactly what was between me and him. Now I'm talking about what happened.
Yes.
Not what expected to be happen on.
Okay. Good.
About the refugees.
Yes.
I told Olmert that I have 5 million refugees, all of them expelled from Israeli territories. All of them. Said, okay. I told them, if I will ask you to accept the 5 million to return to Israel, you can tell me, and you are right, that I will destruct Israel. Or destroy Israel. Okay? He said, yes. I told them, okay, let us talk how to find a solution, but don't tell me that no single Palestinian should return to Israel. And we should find ideas to solve the problem of 5 million refugees, including what Israel can take. And what the Palestinian territories, maybe the Palestinians will come to live in Palestinian territories. Okay. So he didn't accept. And we didn't talk about the details. But he said, concerning the compensation, of course, we will be ready to take our share. I told him, no. There was what we call it, Sunduk Al-Mulak Al-Arabin, absentee property fund. It is in Israel, and you have to give us the whole sum of money which you collected from 1948 till now to put it in order to solve the problem. Not only as you make share percentage as Norway will pay and Canada will pay and you will pay, but we didn't continue. This is the third point or the fourth point. The other point or the last point was the water.
Let's go back to refugees for a second. Because he gave me a much more detailed description of what he thinks he offered on refugees. Now, I don't know whether he actually did or these are just ideas.
Okay, you can ask, you can tell me and I will tell you.
He said that his attitude towards the refugee issue was that, A, he would accept that the refugee issue should be resolved within the spirit of the Arab League Peace Initiative, which stipulates Security Council 194. That he would participate in a public declaration of sorrow, regret, sympathy for the suffering of Palestinians, that he would, and in that would be also an acknowledgement that the suffering came as a result of the war.
The war, 1948.
That he would not just support, but help found a compensation fund in which Israel would participate.
That's right.
Okay.
This is right.
The second one.
And that... So I said to him, well, then are you acknowledging the right of return? He said, this is a case, I used the term constructive ambiguity for a moment ago, this is a term he applied here. He said, you know, Kissinger uses the term constructive ambiguity. Basically what he's saying is, it's subject to interpretation, but it's possible to interpret from all the other things we're doing that we are acknowledging a right of return that has to be resolved. And here he added, and we talked about this, I'm not sure whether he said Taba or I said Taba, but I heard Saib give this talk about Taba in Jerusalem 3 years ago, 4 years ago. I wrote an article about it in Harper's, where the modalities for compensation are stipulated. And he said, yes, I agree to those modalities.
Of Taba. Yeah.
So if you take Taba, you take all the other things he said he agrees to, it's almost, you know, like he's saying,
He accepts the right of return
without pronouncing it.
Okay.
And he thinks that that should be acceptable to you.
But I didn't
reject the whole concept when he talked about the preamble that we are sorry for that, and we will take into consideration the paragraph in the Arab Peace Initiative. It means, and Taba also, it means that some of the refugees will be
allowed
to go to Israel.
Right.
He didn't say the right of return, but he said that some number
would return for humanitarian reasons.
For a humanitarian reason, for family reunification, for. But
and he told me he offered 5,000, he said. 1,000 a year for 5 years is what he said, he told me.
And of course, I didn't accept it.
Right.
I didn't accept it. 1,000 a year for 5 years, I rejected.
Okay, but now we're getting into sort of, we're quibbling about the price in a way. If all the other aspects of that offer feel creative, promising, acceptable to you, and instead of 5,000 a year, it was, instead of 1,000 a year, it was 15,000 a year. Or 5,000 a year for 10 years, or 10,000 a year for 10 years, or something along those lines, do you think you could get to an agreement on the issue of refugees?
At the end, we should get an agreement. We should find an agreement. But the number, whether it is 1 or 20,000 a year, or whatever it is for how many years, this was not discussed by us.
Well, that's why I'm here now, because he said...
But you can take my language. When I told him that if I ask you that 5 million will return, you will tell me that I want to destroy Israel, which is right.
Yes.
But don't tell me that nobody can return.
Right.
So let us talk about
how many
compromises, about something creative to you and to me. Because I cannot find end of conflict, sign the end of conflict, and lead 5 million refugees, including myself, because I'm a refugee, without any solution. We have to find a solution for them.
Right, but he says that the solution is Taba, that the real issue is not will there be a solution for the refugees. The real question is, if you accept Taba, how many symbolic returnees to Israel would be acceptable to you?
I didn't talk about it. We didn't talk about it. But Taba is the principle, okay? Let us talk about the modalities of Taba. I think there were 5 or 6 modalities.
Right.
About water, one word.
Yeah.
We were not in need for more than one word. International regulation.
International
regulation. International law. According to international law, we will take our water, our share of water, either Jordan or inside the land, or in Gaza,
the Mediterranean.
He said, okay, no problem. At that time, of course, we stopped. And he left. Condoleezza, we didn't talk to her at all because she was government of transitional government. So when Netanyahu came, from that time till now, we didn't talk with the Israelis about anything except 3 meetings in Washington in September. The 2nd of September, the 14th of September, the 15th of September in Washington, Sharm el-Sheikh, and Jerusalem, he was talking only about security in a very, very different concept.
That's Netanyahu.
That's Netanyahu, yeah. And till now we are here, nothing new, we are waiting.
Did it ever come up in your conversation with Netanyahu to make the Olmert proposals the basis for your continuing discussion?
Yes, we told him we have
a demand, actually.
We demanded it many times. Let us put it in on the table and talk. Yes. Continue talking. He said, never. When Olmert offered you these things, he stepped down. I said, no, he didn't step down because of this reason. He stepped down because for another reason.
Yes.
But he didn't accept. And by the way, he was talking only about security. And what does he mean by security? That Israeli troops should remain in Jordan Valley and on the heights for 40 years. This is his concept. I answered him that the occupation for me is better than your solution, and that's it. This meeting, or these meetings, all these meetings attended by Condoleezza Rice.
No.
By Hillary Clinton, and Mitchell. And the third meeting was about 4 hours. They were sitting silent. They didn't talk, but Mitchell took notes about every word we uttered.
With Netanyahu.
I know this is a very delicate issue, and you know, you can tell me this is off the record, on the record, but...
No, nothing off the record.
Well, I'm interested in how you regard the Obama administration's potential.
Mm.
Obviously, you know, at some level, I think the Obama administration thought it was doing something important by stressing the end of settlements, and thought that it was finally putting a thumb on the scales for the Palestinians, something that Reagan should have done in 1982, and instead, after he left, there were 100,000 settlers in the West Bank.
Mm.
But, you know, the Obama administration is taking a lot of criticism for having spent so much time on this issue of settlements, when they should have been focused on borders.
Mm.
Do you think the Obama administration, Mitchell taking notes, Hillary Clinton sitting there, mm-hmm. and so on, are going to come back to this detailed negotiation with a plan of their own, with the Olmert plan as their basis? Or do you think they, from their the things they've told you, that you just don't know, or you? I know it's hard for you to speculate about this because, you know, I'm writing, I'm not negotiating, but I'm, you know, what would you want an American reader to understand about the role of their government here?
I want the American administration to be a strong broker, which means that they should bring us together on the table to start negotiations, and they witness everything, and they bring with them
bridging
proposals. This is exactly what we want them to do. When Obama declared in Cairo that he is against the settlement activities, including the
natural growth,
natural growth, we said, okay, this is your position, it is our position. Okay. Talk to the Israelis. He talked to them for 5 months. After that, he gave up. Okay, what shall we do? Let us go, he said, let us go to proximity talks. By the way, this is the first time I hear the word proximity talks. What does that mean? We know direct talks, indirect talks, but we don't know what does it mean, proximity talks. Okay, he sent a message to me saying that Mitchell will convey ideas between both sides, and if we reach to progress on two issues, borders and security, we will go to direct talks. At the end, he failed to do this or to bring to us any progress. Okay. Then they told me, okay, now we invite you to Washington. And in Washington, he will accept the moratorium for 3 months.
Okay.
I went to Washington. I met with Hillary Clinton on the 1st of September. She told me these words, if he doesn't accept, everything on the table will be...
All bets
will be off the table. All bets will be off the table.
What okay. do you mean by that?
It means that... nothing will happen. Okay, next day we had meetings, bilateral, trilateral, quadrilateral, lateral, I don't know, without any results. At the end, President Obama said, Prime Minister Netanyahu doesn't want to cease settlement activities. Abu Mazen insisted that he should have this
settlement freeze.
Okay, go to Sharm el Sheikh, continue. We went to Sharm el Sheikh, nothing. We went to Jerusalem, nothing. And after that, they returned back to build in a very, very
aggressive
way, which means that they don't want solution. So we are waiting for the American administration, what they are going to cook in their minds, I don't know, but we will wait. By the way, I can tell you something. I have 3 items should be fulfilled by September. The first one is the promise of President Obama that in September there will be a state with a partnership, with a full partnership in the United Nations.
Full membership.
In the United Nations.
So he said in his speech at the UN.
This he promised. Right. The second, he told us and the quartet also that the negotiations should start in September and end it by September. The third, we pledged that we will build our state, our institutions, everything
in 2 years,
ended by September. So, now?
September
2011. 2011, yes, yeah. And after the 8 months or something like that. We will go to September. If nothing happens, I will take a very, very painful decision. Don't ask me about it. But during this period, till the date I will decide, I will control the security. I will maintain the security cooperation between the Palestinian Authority and the Israelis as it happened since 4 years till now. Till now, no single incident came from the West Bank. They admitted many times, the Americans and the Israelis, that the Palestinians have security better than the neighborhood, including Israel.
Yeah. Better than when the Israeli forces were controlling the situation.
And if you remember, Nabil, when I received 120 Israelis, yes. Mitzna said, you remember? Mitzna was the foreign minister, was the defense minister. He said, security now is better than the time we were here. And I was the commander of the West Bank.
General Mitzna.
General.
Who tried to run for prime minister.
Yeah. Imran Mitzna. And other, Tani Sneh, said that you have security much better than the era of the Israeli
control.
Mm-hmm. So, and I used to meet with the AIPAC in Washington, in New York, in France, the leadership.
Not only that, but Jewish leaders.
Jewish leaders. Yeah. And I talked to them as I am talking to you on the record, everything. They asked many questions. But at the end, they came very, very satisfied. Now, I'm wondering why they are reluctant. Why Prime Minister Netanyahu is reluctant? Why he is hesitating? He doesn't do anything. When I talked to the Israelis, came to me, I want you to return back to the media, to the Israeli journal, the newspapers. How much they criticized Netanyahu, not me. They said, Abu Mazen is doing a good job. Why you are doing nothing? So I believe, and you can ask the Americans and the Israelis, that we are doing a very excellent job, either in security or in economy.
He wrote several articles about the economy.
You could. Okay. Now, for that, I'm telling that in September we will take very harmful decisions.
We
believe in peace. I want peace. My mission since 40 years, you don't know me, but from 40 years I led the campaign.
You think I don't know what you achieved in your life?
But since 40 years, I started a campaign to meet with the Israelis, to talk to the Jews, wherever they are. We have to live with them. We have to talk to them. We have to know each other. Many people criticized me from 1970s, but till now I'm committed. But not forever, which I don't mean that I will return back to, as they to the
to violence.
Never. In my life, I will never do it. But I cannot stay in my office forever doing nothing. I promised my people to fulfill three purposes. The first, security, and I did it. In spite of all the obstacles that government of Netanyahu government put in my way, I give you one example that when I am in need for weapons. Weapons mean rifles and ammunition only. I don't bring anything else, and through illegal way. I brought it to Jordan here. Since 2 years, 1,000 rifle and 500,000 bullets, they didn't allow me to get it in. So every three soldiers, they have one weapon,
one rifle.
So this is the first. The second, economy. And I think Muhammad can tell you about the flourishing life of economy. You saw in Ramallah. You saw, if you know Ramallah, one year ago, you will never know that this is Ramallah. And the other cities, the same. And the third is the independence for the Palestinians. If I fail, it means that I failed. I will not remain.
Okay, I won't ask you, because you told me not to ask you, but you just told me, but I won't ask you. But I want to ask another question. My old boss, whom I don't like particularly, I have to say, Uriel Reifman, who started the Interdisciplinary Center in Herzliya, you know, he was the guy who was supposed to be the education minister under Sharon. He wrote an article in Haaretz yesterday, which I thought was very significant, because it's a kind of signal to the Israeli business class that we've got to do something. Because Reifman is the educator to all the privileged kids in Herzliya and North Tel Aviv. He wrote a piece in Haaretz that said, the Palestinian government, in the next year, is going to go to the UN General Assembly, procure from the UN General Assembly recognition for a Palestinian state, where it will pass overwhelmingly, he said. If it passes overwhelmingly, all kinds of countries in the world, and we're not just talking about,
Latin America, Venezuela.
All kinds of people in all
also Russia, yes, the dead Buddhists.
Right. All kinds of what he said was not just that they would recognize the state, but that recognition could begin to be used to create an international sanctions regime against the state of Israel. He said, and he's the party of global Israel. I once wrote a little article in the New York Times in which I said, there are only two parties in Israel. There's the party of Greater Israel and the party of Global Israel.
Greater and global? What
greater
and
expanded territory.
Expanded to Iran.
Lieberman and Tzipi Livni. Tzipi Livni is not against Greater Israel. It's just that she's more for global Israel.
Global.
She wants Israel
recognized by the world.
She wants to be part of the global system, the global system.
Right.
And so Reifman said, if the sanctions regime begins, we don't know where it ends. It becomes extremely dangerous for our standing in the world. By that he meant our globalization, because most of Israel's economy is dependent now on relationships with all kinds of companies around the world in global markets. If sanctions begin and the economy starts to implode, don't forget, Israel has a third of its young people under the poverty line. Israel has a national debt that looks a little like Greece. Right. Israel is growing and is keeping a lot of these things hidden, and Stanley Fisher has $80 billion in foreign reserves and is able to keep from the World Bank. So you know what he's doing, right? he's keeping the shekel from, let's say, getting too valuable, which will then create a problem for exports, and then you have a real estate bubble that could begin to become...
Sorry, خلص?
Anyway, I don't want to make a speech. What I'm saying is, here you have sort of the person who signaling an Israeli business class and saying, we're in danger. We're in danger if the Palestinians go for a state.
But he should, he can avoid, not himself, the Israeli government, avoid this danger.
No, I'm asking, are you going to go for a state? In other words, if that, if you have, is he right that you have another strategic opportunity here? That if you cannot get the American government to act?
Believe me, I don't have. No, I don't have. I don't have alternative. I believe, even the world as a whole believes that America is the broker. Nobody else. Nobody can replace them. And when we talk to the Europeans, they say, we will help as much as we can, and we will talk. And they, I think, their position is very, very good for us. But they cannot replace America. Also the Russians or anybody else. But we want the Americans to play the role. But if they don't want to play, it means that the hopes for peace will collapse, And the region will be controlled by the extremists. Hamas is in Gaza, Hezbollah is in Lebanon, and nobody knows what will happen in Tunis, and what will happen in Lebanon, and what is happening in Yemen, Sudan, Somal, and the whole region. We are working against the extremists. Maybe we are the only place who is attacking
confronting
the extremism alone. And we succeeded. But if we also collapse, if we also fail to achieve our goal, which is independent state living side by side with Israel, everything will collapse, and it is not their interest, and it will not be our interest.
Mr. President, we're almost out of time, I know, and I just realized that there's a very important issue that I forgot to come back to, and I'm not going to take a lot of time, but this is the map that I understand Olmert gave you, more or less. There may be some differences, but this is the map that was produced by the Baker group, and it's a map that is...
I think that this is similar to the map because he didn't give it to me.
I understand.
He showed it to me like that.
I understand.
You see, oh, my dear, one, two, three, okay.
Yeah, sign it. What I feel I have to come back to, because it's so important, is that the issue of percentage of land is really not as critical for the understanding of the problem as the question of Kedumim, Ariel, and Efrat, and Male Adumim. There are four areas of contention. I think all of them could be said to have been created by the same arrogance, say. I'm not saying it. I'm just allowing it. But they have different valences. They have different weight. Efrat has a problematic relationship to the expansion of Bethlehem. Ariel has a problematic relationship to the expansion of the area between Nablus and Ramallah. Ehud told me that with respect to Ariel, he was prepared to build underpass, to build a tunnel under Ariel, so that there would be no impedance of contiguity, etc. When you say that you're asking for the Americans to come back with a bridging proposal, are you asking for bridging proposal also on the territorial issue?
So you're
open to...
I want, as they describe the state, viable,
contiguous,
independent state. Give me this state. But if you will make this partition, it means that I will have cantons, not independent state.
Right.
And this will not live with Israel. This is not going to live.
Not viable.
Not continuous. Not underground and or for over bridges.
It's not sustainable.
This is not. They can expand their settlements inside the green line. Why would they insist to be inside the Palestinian territories? They believe, all of them, they were talking, even Shimon Peres or Barak or the others, that there is 67 borders. Okay, where is the 67 borders? Yeah.
But let me...
And by the way, if they will not give us the solution, how can we will end the conflict? The conflict will return. If I sign unfair agreement, nobody will accept it. And if they accept it for a while, they will reject it after that. So they should understand. I want to live with them.
Yes. I take your point. I guess what I'm asking here is, are we really coming down to Ariel? I mean, if I would put this to the American reader and say, look, the real problem here is Ariel. Efrat, you can shade a little bit, bring some people back. Maale Adumim is like not Maale Adumim.
These are details.
But Ariel is not just a detail.
Let me tell you something.
Yeah.
Do the Americans accept 6-7 borders with agreed swaps?
Yes.
No. This administration, I asked them many times, if you give me the same position you gave me in the past, in the other previous government or administration. Two elements, 2 points. 67 borders, you recognize the Americans, 67 borders with agreed swap, full stop. Then third party without any Israeli presence, full stop. I believe that you put the train on the track and we will continue, we will push it. They didn't give it to me. This is to reiterate their position. But now, when you talk about bridging proposals, they do not accept 6-7 borders. The American administration. This is my problem with them. I cannot say it openly because till now, I am telling the people that President Obama administration is...
Committed,
and he's a good man. Also, his administration, his team, all of them are committed. But now 2 years. 2 years. And when we return to ask them these
but
two
maybe
questions...
Mr. President, maybe they believe in it, and they would actually say it, but they don't want to say it now. Because
why? It is the principle. It is the principle. Yani, why Condoleezza Rice came to us after 2-3 months and told the both sides, right, this is our position, write it. And Jim Jones finalized this his file about no Israeli presence, third party, it will be NATO, and that's it.
Well, what you could say is that since they said there should be no settlements across the green line, that that's an implicit recognition of the 67 border. But I don't want to speak for the American administration. I want to go back to this question of Ariel, because... Look,
I will not talk about the detailed Ariel, what will happen, or Amali Adumim, or other... These are, okay, settlements. I consider these settlements illegal. All of them illegal. Because all of them built in our territory.
Right. The Geneva Agreements consider them illegal.
Okay. We'll return back to the Geneva Agreement. Now, we will talk. Let us talk. What principle? On what principles we are going to talk? He's talking about state with provisional borders, which means 60%.
Netanyahu is.
Netanyahu and before him, I don't know, maybe Sharon used to say this, but 67 borders means no way, no solution. So we want the basis of the solution. What are the basis of the solution? Let me know it.
Right, but that's the
thing. They dealt with the Syrians, with the Egyptians about 67 borders. Right? And they returned every inch to the Egyptians, and the same to the Jordanians, and the same to the Syrians, and the same to the Lebanese. Why the Palestinians not?
No, but Olmert said...
Olmert, okay. Olmert now is out.